Okay, before we get into this podcast, I just wanted to say Brady Tkachuk is one of the ugliest hockey players I've ever seen.
Don't make Martin, that's Martin's favorite hockey player. Come on.
Bro, he is so ugly. He literally looks like exactly like Don Cherry's dog.
He's not a good looking guy. If he wasn't a hockey player, he'd have a rough life.
I don't like Matthew Tkachuk, but at least he's got some looks. Like, you know?
I don't think Matt Tkachuk's good. I feel like this is a podcast topic. I feel like we need to have.
Who's the sexiest player?
Who's the best looking?
Yeah, we know who Luke's favorite sexiest player is.
Tyler Seguin.
Yeah, he brings it up every other day.
Yeah. It's just a fact.
Nobody's said it. Just out of nowhere, Luke will be like, Tyler Seguin is hot as hell.
Luke actually wants to bang Tyler Seguin. Like, let's be real.
Whoa. I want him to bang me.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Talking Hockey Podcast. It's your favorite producer, Luke, here to remind you to follow and subscribe on whatever streaming service you use. Leave a review on Apple, visit our website, talkinghockeypodcast.com, and follow us on Instagram at Talking Hockey for daily content. Now, let's get into today's episode with your favorite group of guys, Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin.
I know I haven't introduced it yet, but this better all be in there.
Oh, it is. Recording? I didn't
realize. And welcome to episode 61 of the Talking Hockey Podcast.
Okay, for our first topic today, Matt Tkachuk and Brady Tkachuk. Who's the better looking?
No, Matt Tkachuk.
Yeah.
Brady is not the best looking.
My take is this. Brady got 0% of the looks. And Matthew got like 100%. I don't know if there's any other kids in there, but like it did not end well for Brady Tkachuk.
He's a hockey player. My favorite, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, dude, my favorite Brady Tkachuk picture is that one. I think it was like 2 years ago where he's sitting on the bench and they're screwdriving on his helmet. It looks like he's, you know, no one knows what I'm talking about.
Nobody knows anything.
No one knows what you're talking about.
My favorite Matt Tkachuk picture is when he was like a... He was like probably 15 or 16 and he went to some NHL game and like the photos of with him and like a cheerleader or something. And he's like so happy. That's my favorite Brady Tkachuk photo.
I just sent the Brady Tkachuk photo to the group.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
This is the one that you made you go and look.
This is the one.
Oh, this one.
This is the one. Now everybody knows what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, it literally looks.
Has the screwdriver on his helmet.
Yeah, he looks a little special.
No, I was watching the game tonight and I was just like, the camera cut to him and I was just like, this guy is so ugly. And I say that as an ugly person, people. I say that as a person who's like not the most attractive person in the world. I say that this guy's ugly.
Hey, Luke, don't say that about yourself. Have some confidence. Come on.
Oh, I'm confident. I just accept it about myself.
But yet Brady Tkachuk is probably banging all the bitches and you are not.
He has a girlfriend.
Yeah, he does have a girlfriend.
That's probably not stop. Since when does that stop these guys?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's also a good point. Ruthless. Remember that episode we recorded where we shared like all these stories that
yeah.
And then we ended up cutting off of it. Because we didn't want to get sued.
Eric, do you have like a smoke going on in your room or something?
Oh yeah, it's my humidifier.
Okay. I was going to say, I saw some stuff coming out of the top left. Anyways, what we're talking about today, Ty, go.
Playoffs and coaches.
Yes.
Coaches?
Okay. What do we want to cover first?
Let's do the coaches first. Because that'll be quicker, I think. Yeah.
What are we talking about?
So David Quinn got fired. Right today, so basically the Rangers have cleaned out their entire house.
Yeah, they fired everyone,
literally, yeah,
all their coaching people basically, except the goalie coach, I'm pretty sure, who, you know, probably is the only one on that team that probably deserved to stay realistically based off of his last like 15 years with the Rangers.
Yeah, so I mean, David Quinn was not I don't think he was a very good coach. He was a guy who came from college. Like, he was a college coach for NCAA. Rangers hired him because they were starting their rebuild, so he kind of seemed like the perfect guy for them. But their defensive results have been awful. If they didn't have Adam Fox, they would be in they would look like a totally different team out there, I think.
Yeah, it was so weird that, like, he came in as the guy that came from college who knows how to develop young guys, and then he proceeded to not do that.
Yeah, they totally wrecked I don't know if you can blame it entirely on the coach, but like they wrecked Elias Anderson, right? Because they called him up when he was like 19 and they just benched him. And when he was in games, they played him like 3 minutes a night. And then who else do they have? Kravtsov. I don't know Kako. How he's doing. Kako, Lafreniere this year.
Well, I think you guys probably saw what I shared on my story, which is Lafreniere has gotten like the least amount of minutes among first overall picks in the last, like, I think out of the last 15 first overall picks, he's basically gotten the least amount of minutes and least amount of power play time out of all first overall picks. And it's Lafreniere. It's not like this is...
That's insane.
I don't know. I don't want to insult... That's like, actually crazy. I don't know. Like, some of the other, like, less... Uh-huh. Noteworthy first overall picks that there've been like Nico Hischier or who else wasn't that noted? Ryan Nugent Hopkins, I guess. Yakupov maybe. Like yeah. And then Kako didn't you know, he didn't deserve to get more minutes to be fair to Quinn because he was just awful, but he didn't get many minutes either compared to many second overall picks that entered the league right away as well.
Yeah, because Kako last year, they're bringing in someone who has Elliot Friedman said before the Leafs game today that they're bringing in someone who has experience. So, who's fired recently? Babcock,
Gallant, Boudreau,
yeah, one of those. Julian.
I think they should. I think they'll go after.
But they're still. Gallant. Columbus is open Gallant because
Tortorella go back to New York.
They do want more like physical. They do want to bring in more of Tortorella's like skill set. Well, the Rangers.
Is Tortorella
coach forever,
very good
though,
with
he?
Prospects? Like
yeah, he was.
He was like 10 years ago or something. More than that, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was.
I don't. Yeah, Torts is coaching somewhere. I actually think I have a gut feeling that it's Mike Babcock. He just seems like a James Dolan kind of guy for this team.
All the quotes coming out of the range. Yeah, I don't think it's Babcock. That'd be awful. All the quotes out of the Rangers is about culture and attitude and needing to win and like physicality and leadership and all this crap. Yeah, actually.
They want Brendamore.
I think most teams want.
I think Elliot
Brendamore's not going anywhere.
Yeah, he's getting really
Brendamore. Carolina is nickel and diming all their coaches, eh? They are actually nickel and diming every single coach.
They have to keep him. Yeah. He just led them to first in their division.
And he's strong arming them. He's like, you're not getting me without all my assistants.
But he's also taking a haircut.
I mean, he's already loaded.
Yeah, he's
too,
not signing
right?
anywhere close to what he probably could get. How long? Open market.
Yeah, yeah.
I know. So is the owner.
I know.
Tom Dundon is literally trying to save every penny he can.
Columbus has an opening. Buffalo probably will have an opening. New York has an opening. Vancouver might have an opening, depending on
Travis Green. Yeah.
There's Seattle. There's Arizona. So that's like seven teams that need to hire a coach.
Montreal's probably not going to keep Ducharme unless something crazy happens.
Yeah, I doubt. He stays after.
Is Botterill still in Detroit? No, not Botterill. No, what's the Detroit coach?
Blashill. Yeah, he still is.
Blashill.
Yeah, but he
I think
he doesn't,
he's gone.
He's tough because like the Rangers have actually done better than a lot of people expected them to as well, right? They've been awful, but yeah.
I just don't think that it matters who's coaching Detroit. Coaches. Like they are so far away from.
Yeah, they just need a development guy, and I don't know if Blushell's the development guy, but you know he's done well with some of their other guys: Larkin, Mantha. Who else? That's basically in Detroit right
yeah,
now.
Literally.
Zadina hasn't done.
I know that
Zadina's been awful this year.
Yeah.
The defenseman. God, I'm blanking on his name right now, but I really liked him. Fuck. Anyone know?
Hronek,
yeah. He didn't do that well this year either. He did very, very, very poorly.
Hronek? So.
But again, Detroit was all awful all around.
Who cares? Like literally, it's like they're at the who cares point, but like they actually are years away from contending again. I feel because just because of how their rebuild has gone, and even next year, they're probably looking at another bottom place finish.
And Vrana, who they brought in, has been awesome. Yeah.
They finished ahead. I know they finished ahead of
Columbus. And yet they finished ahead of Columbus.
Who would have thought that, man? Like, literally.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about Line's comments at all?
I think that was a poor translation, by the way.
So I was going to post that. The article wasn't
Finnish.
Yeah, so I was going to post that.
But it was a really poor translation.
Yeah, so I had one of our Finnish followers actually DM'd me. And he basically said something. I'll read what he said, but basically something along the lines of like, look, there's a couple words that he used that could mean a bunch of different things. So like, it could have been like a much less harsh version of essentially what he did say.
Yeah. Because basically when that quote came out, when that person tweeted it in English, he's like, oh, Line is like, I hate playing hockey, basically. When really Line was kind of saying like, it was such a crazy year for COVID. And
so this is what this guy is saying. He's saying his name is Jesse Retalainen. I don't know if I pronounce any of that right. Probably not with my record. But it's been taken a bit out of context. On Joksa can mean a number of things, but the translation is a bit off. He's basically saying he's exhausted physically and probably mentally as well. Finnish can be a bit blunt, and I think this quote has been made to look like he hates hockey.
Yeah, that's
Finnish people are very blunt. Can confirm.
Yeah.
I met one.
It's just the Nordic.
Dude was blunt.
Just the Nordic blood, you know?
Dude was blunt.
I think
bro.
It's dude a very like blunt. Nordic, like German thing, I feel. Because like, you know, we all like lie. We're not lie, but like we all like.
We all PR ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas they're more just like straight up. It's like a cultural thing, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah. So Patrick Laine's comments weren't as harsh, but it doesn't sound good no matter what. Right?
No.
There's no.
I wonder if he'll be happy that Tortorella's not coming back.
Probably. I mean, is his contract up this season?
Yeah, Laine did say that he wants to stay in Columbus.
I mean, he's not going to tell. I mean, odds are he's not going to tell the media, I want to get out of this hellhole. Not that
Columbus, He did in Winnipeg.
Yeah, but that was like, you know, very much later on in the relationship. Not
who coaches Anaheim? Is that still Randy Carlyle?
No. It's Dallas Eakins.
Oh, bro.
No.
Yeah, what?
Formerly of the Toronto Marlies.
You know, Anaheim's kind of a disaster right now, too. I feel like Anaheim's just, like, we've all forgotten about Anaheim because, you know, they're in the fucking West Division and nobody cares. They're not actually, yeah, they're pretty young. Well, they're super not, young. They still have a lot of, you know, like a lot of their younger guys young-ish. Have not stepped up.
Yeah.
But I don't know why. Why is Gallant not back in the league, though?
Because he wants to. He's going to coach Seattle, guaranteed. I think that's pretty solid. I feel at least he's going to be the head coach of Seattle.
Yeah. Did you hear that, or is this just like a tight fantasy?
No. Like I just think,
like, because I heard that too, and. I heard that from Elliot Friedman on his podcast.
I think he's been out of the league for so long, he must be part of the Seattle organization. Because he's never even really been linked to any other NHL jobs, you know what I mean?
No, that's a good point.
Like, anytime someone's gotten fired, no one said
they're probably going to announce their coach.
The expansion draft's coming up. It's very
soon. Yeah, that's this offseason, right? Yeah,
it's this offseason.
When do they draft?
Everyone's going to start freaking out. We're going to see, hopefully, some moves. The flat cap's going to wrench in that.
Huh. Maxime Comtois.
That's a good season, though.
You see, Anaheim that's a good rookie season. With 33 points.
Yeah, no, that's bad. For him, that's very
but, like,
bad.
That's your number
one
score.
They have a bunch
score.
Of guys who are good, like, good-ish players, but by the time Anaheim's ready to compete again, they're going to be out of their prime, like Fowler and Lindholm Raquel. And Manson and whatever. Raquel. I think Getzlaff, they're probably going to re-sign him so he finishes out his career in Anaheim.
Yeah, and we haven't talked enough about how bad Getzlaff's been for like 2 years now.
Yeah.
He's just
that's what I've heard.
Off.
Loyalty.
He's barely an NHL player right now, to be honest.
If they're not wanting to compete for the next 2 years, who cares if keeping your franchise player there for another 2 years?
Yeah, he's okay to keep around.
Because they gave him like 4 years, dude.
Why did Shaq give him like 4 years there?
At $4 million?
He won his cup. He doesn't need the cup anymore. He got it.
True.
And now he can go and live his life now in California. Come on.
You would, 100%, Martin. Fair. You would have made the exact same decision without a doubt. And we probably all would have. I would have won my cup. Peace off to Anaheim. No pressure to compete for the next 4 years of my contract. Make $4 million or whatever it is a year and live it up in California. The dream.
Yeah, dude. I would. If the you didn't, dream. If I didn't care about hockey, that's exactly like if I was good enough but didn't care.
Because Anaheim thinks that they're going to be.
Okay, why did Anaheim sign Shattenkirk? Which is,
a whole nother thing in itself.
Ty, next time you blow your nose on the podcast, mute yourself, okay, buddy?
Sorry, I don't. No, I don't have a microphone, so I can't.
No, you can go. There's a button on the website.
Yeah, that's definitely
mute yourself. Well, you can mute me afterwards.
There's definitely a mute button.
Yeah.
My nose, I have a really bad allergies. Sorry.
I don't have allergies.
My allergies have been really bad today, too. Yeah, they need to.
All right, guys, we're not talking about how to rebuild Anaheim. Okay, we're talking about coaches and we're talking about playoffs.
Yeah, we talked about how to rebuild Anaheim in the offseason when we have nothing to talk about.
Okay, let's just rapid fire. Who do we think is going to be the coach of Arizona?
Whoever's going to have some other upcoming dude.
Yeah, they're going to have a nobody that nobody knows because they can't afford a real
coach. Some assistant coach. Yeah.
Okay, who's going to be the next coach?
They want someone young. They want someone
young. Some assistant coach or a college coach is going
to. You don't think Bruce Boudreau is going to go to Columbus?
I don't think Bruce Boudreau is going
to Columbus. What if they bring in like a Finnish coach? Head coach of exactly.
It would be nice to expand the talent pool of the 35 coaches on the only Finnish coach. So I'm down for it.
If anyone's going to do it, Kekalainen would be doing it too, though.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know if Armstrong and Arizona would do it too much.
An ex-Finnish player, Olli Jokinen, come on, like someone like that.
But the ex-players never do well as coaches.
It's like, always an ex-player. Like that's what.
Okay, but he was like way out of his career, and then.
Well,
like,
what about Brendan Moore?
What about Sheldon Keefe?
Rarely do. Sheldon Keefe. Yeah.
I think Rob Brendamore just bullies people because of how big his biceps are.
That guy's just that guy's just a freak, man. He's just ridiculously fit. It's so weird. You feel like
it always made me laugh so hard.
Sorry?
I think it was so easy to follow because of that. I loved it so much when Babcock would be like coming out to all his press conferences, like absolutely drenched. I have to put in the work too to show my guys, like, shut up, Babcock. Shut up.
Brendamore is the only one that can say that because he could probably compete with half of his players in terms of fitness.
Yeah. Who's going to be the coach of – I don't know if Dallas's coach sticks around, to be honest.
I think he will. He went to the cup final. He'll keep
Who's going to be Buffalo's coach? You think they're going to keep their coach?
They're going to keep Granato.
Yeah, I think they're going to keep him too.
I think that they said they're going to look for other coaches, like I don't know if anyone really wants to go there at this point. And secondly, I think given the situation where Buffalo lost 16 games in a row and Eichel and everyone was pissed off and the entire franchise is in shambles and he came in there and finished off the season, I think. And they were decently better, at least.
Yeah, they need some consistency, too. You know, you can't just – unless they're going to go get some elite coach who somehow wants to go and looks at Buffalo as a challenge and goes, okay, I'm going to fix that. Keeping pile of like shit. Buffalo does have money, more
they
money.
They wouldn't pay enough.
How many? But I know the Pegulas, they're making so much money off the Bills at this point. But like, how many coaches are still on their and GMs are still on their payroll right now, man?
Yeah,
like they've been firing coaches basically every year, GM every other year, dude.
Yeah, that's a good point. And they have to keep paying them through their contract.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, they probably have like They probably have like $7 million of dead money.
Yeah,
just on like ex-coaches and GMs.
Because no one's gonna go and hire. Like I think that the way it works is when if you fire a coach who's partly in his contract and then he gets hired by someone else, then you don't have to pay him anymore.
Yeah.
but after or the coach, other team picks but up after his contract.
You coach Buffalo, you're not getting
it. Exactly. No one's picking up Ralph Krueger.
You pay a
at
bit.
This point, right? No one's hiring him. No one's hiring Botterill as your next GM. Because
yep.
Krueger, I think they gave him like a 5-year contract when they first signed him.
Yeah, they give him a big deal. they give everyone a big deals there, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
I would be shocked if Alain Vigneault sticks around in Philadelphia. But who's going to coach New York? No, shut up.
I said Babcock.
No, I think it's going to be like Tortorella or, you know, they're going to get a big name. Boudreaux, Gallant. Like, they're going to get a big name or they're going to.
I think Gallant.
Yeah, they're going to get a big name. It's going to be like Tortorella, Gallant, Boudreaux. Like one of those guys.
Is Babcock not a big name?
Mike He's a big Babcock. Name, but like I don't see him getting a job with the Rangers after their whole D'Angelo mess. Like just, you know, inviting in a new
player. Well, if there's one thing, Mike Babcock is not a racist and he's also not, he also stands for mental health. So, you know, he's a big mental health supporter, even though he bullies his players. He's a big mental health supporter.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe the New York Rangers need some of that after D'Angelo, you know?
Yeah.
Going to sit down, have some nice therapy with them.
Exactly.
Okay, now we can get into the playoffs. All right, boys, I wrote down all the playoff series, so I'm going to write down keep track of who said what. I'm just going to go based off TSN's order here. Toronto-Montreal.
Toronto and six.
Oh, man. I want to say Toronto's going to win because they should win.
I agree with
Eric. There's no way that they shouldn't win. But will they win? I have, as a lifelong Leaf fan, they're losing this. Because last year against Columbus, everyone's like, oh, this is so easy. They're going to beat Columbus. Columbus sucks. The Leafs suck. You cannot
count on losing.
Ty, make your prediction. Stop whining and
Montreal in six.
Oh my god.
Toronto in five. That's what I say. Toronto in five.
Oh my god.
Ty is like the most Montreal bizarre person Boston to follow along teams. With in our group chat. It's Montreal sucks. They're terrible and have no idea what they're doing. And then the next, and I'm so scared to play them in the playoffs. And the next second, it's fucking.
Okay. Because something that you guys don't get is that they're missing Drouin, Weber, Gallagher. Say what you want about Carey Price, but they're missing Carey Price. And Tatar, it just was injured. I don't know if he's 100%, but he's back in the lineup. So they were missing like five regular players who are
really
good.
We're not doing
good.
A deep analysis of each playoff series.
I know, but that's why I'm saying is that there's also a week off for the Canadian playoffs, right? Like Montreal season's done today, I think. They have a week off until the playoffs start. So Gallagher's likely going to be back. Weber's going to be back.
Weber and Gallagher. Price, I'm terrified now.
You're terrified of Gallagher, you short king. Come on.
Martin, how many games for you? And who's winning?
He agreed with me in six.
Six for Toronto. Yeah.
Okay. So we're all Leafs in six. Okay, except Ty, who's frightened of Montreal, but then says Toronto in five.
Ty, yes. Their goal differential is Toronto has a +42 and Montreal is a -8. Like, I know a goal differential, not the best one, but fuck, dude.
Dude, there's a very, like, decent gap. And it's not like this, you know, upsets can't happen, but there's a very good gap between Montreal and Toronto right now. Like, every single model has it from, like, 67% to, like, 75%, basically, for Toronto winning. Like, that's almost
but is the
as
game played on the score
is.
Sheet or on the spreadsheet or on the on yeah, the game card?
Well, Montreal's not even a built team for an upset, really, unless Carey Price goes on.
They did last year. They kind of upset Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah.
Mm, yeah, I guess, but
ish. Sure. Didn't they get shit on in the next series?
Yeah, they did.
They lost to Philly in six, I think. I wouldn't really call it shit on them.
Yeah, but Philly was the much better team in that playoff series.
Yeah, I seem to remember Philly being
better. It was pretty boring. Like the shots were like 19-21.
Yeah.
Both teams were just playing
Montreal
not to
lose. Montreal
does
know how to play boring hockey.
Exactly. That's the issue, right? Like if they can shut down Toronto.
Okay, so moving on to the next one.
Edmonton versus Winnipeg.
Oh man, that's the one I've been like.
I think that this one is an easy Edmonton win. The Jets in their last 10 games were 1-9, right?
2-8.
Or 2-8, sorry. But they
so it's how many games for Edmonton?
Edmonton's winning this.
Eilers back.
Eilers is not. He might. No, he's likely going to be back.
I heard he's back for the playoffs, supposedly.
Yeah.
But Wheeler's been awful. Their defense has been atrocious. Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I don't think it's an easy Edmonton, but like if they have Mike Smith continuing to be good all of a sudden, like, you know, I think that was their major issue last year. Right? One of their major issues.
I say Edmonton in six.
Yeah. I'm gonna go Edmonton in seven.
I just think it's not even close. Like the final regular season games, I know Ehlers wasn't in the lineup.
Hey, you gotta remember they have Hellebuck, right? Like he can stonewall.
Yeah, sure. But like they're just gonna get lit up. Like their defense cannot handle it. Who's their best defender? Morris?
We have to remember, okay, Edmonton's defense isn't exactly, you know.
Well, sure. But I think that Edmonton's forwards are Edmonton's top forwards.
You mean
forwards.
Edmonton's two forwards?
Yeah.
Winnipeg has a much deeper forward core than Edmonton.
Right. But their fourth line is also like Trevor Lewis and friggin' Nate Thompson.
Oh, yeah, the fourth line's absolutely awful. They'll get caved in completely, and, you know, Edmonton will look to take advantage of it.
But also going
we'll
against
play
Edmonton's
like 8 minutes.
Line.
You know, going against Edmonton's two lines that don't have McDavid and Draisaitl on the ice, then Winnipeg are probably winning at every point of that game until McDavid and Draisaitl are on the ice, which unfortunately is 40 something minutes of the game, 45 minutes of the game, probably.
Yeah.
So,
okay. Yeah. Next series. I put Edmonton in six. Okay. Pittsburgh, New York Islanders.
Oh,
I'm going to believe in Pittsburgh again. And I know they've let me down so much, but like
the last time Pittsburgh played the Islanders, they got swept.
It was a shit
right?
show,
they got
man.
Swept by the Islanders. Yeah, it was a disaster for Pittsburgh.
That was awful.
I think Mike Sullivan has learned from his mistakes. I think he's one of the best coaches in the league still. I will stick with that.
But he's also going up against the best coach in the league in Barry Trotz.
Yes.
But I think Pittsburgh's on a different level this year. Like Crosby's
Pittsburgh's
really,
been
like,
very good the last 30
good.
Games.
Very good.
Like they had a very rough start. Not a good start at all. But
yeah, Martin thought that they were awful. The Martin thought they were done to start the season.
Well, fucking Jari was shit at the start, and then he seemed to fix himself.
Yeah.
Somehow.
So
and
I like Pittsburgh this year. They're going in hot. The Islanders haven't been. You know, they've been very good. They're top pairing.
Islanders have actually not been good since they made that Palmieri trade.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like they had a very hot start to the season and then they kind of tapered off, right? But again, right? Like it's the playoffs, it's a completely different beast. But, you know, I'm saying Pittsburgh.
I say
in
Pittsburgh
six.
In five.
Okay. So Martin Amir.
Eric six, Martin five, Ty.
I'm saying the Islanders winning this one in five.
Whoa.
Damn, okay, so you have almost a sweep.
I'm going to go Pittsburgh in seven.
I like it, okay.
Washington, Boston.
Man, this one's actually a really tough series.
This is going to be a very
series.
Good series to watch.
Yeah.
That's going to be one of the better series to watch, for sure.
Like, I think that Boston is probably the hottest team coming
in. I like where Boston is right now. I'm going Boston. In seven. This is going to be a one hell of a series. It's going to come down to the wire, I feel. They're hot. Taylor Hall's hot.
We know Eric's crush is. Mr. Eighthead.
Actually, first off, you know, Taylor Hall's Martin's crush. You just see him showing around his picture of him and Taylor Hall at every opportunity.
I think Buffalo would have done much better. Buffalo would have done much better if they wrote out their game plans and used Taylor Hall's forehead as the whiteboard.
Yes. That was good.
They could cover the entire ice with that.
Okay, Boston made all the right additions. They got a really good offensive defenseman in Mike Riley. They got an insanely elite forward in Taylor Hall. Those are the exact two things that they needed. They're going far. And this playoffs, I think they're going to probably make a run for at least the conference finals. And so I'm taking Boston in seven.
Okay.
How many games?
In seven.
He said seven.
I said it like seven? Three times. It's okay, Martin.
True. I say seven too.
All right, Ty, let's hear it.
For Boston or?
For Boston.
Yeah, I'm gonna go against the grain. I'll say Washington in seven.
Why?
Just because everyone's choosing Boston.
Okay, that's.
I think Boston has the like best.
It depends.
Two, Boston's three defense, players in the series. Okay. Yes.
Boston's forwards are great. They're top line. I mean, you can't say anything about Pasternak and Bergeron and Marchand. Their second line ever since they got Hall has been really, really good. Right, like.
Yeah. And that Hall Craig and Smith edition now, it's looking much better than it was
before. Craig Smith and Hall, if they re-sign Hall as well.
And Craig extended, had a resurgence.
Yeah, it's extended Boston's window for contending for another 2 years probably.
And Krejci's a playoff guy. Like, he's a good playoff guy. He's always been good in the playoffs.
Their third line leaves much to be desired. Like, I think Charlie Coyle's been actually one of the worst players in the league this year.
Yeah, he's been very not good. But again, he's a guy that you can probably rely on to step it up a bit in the playoffs, I feel.
And I think that they're, again, Boston's a really, really well-coached team.
Yep.
Bruce Cassidy, I'm not hearing your reasons that Washington's
listening. But Boston's defense, other than McAvoy and Mike Riley and Grizzlick, the rest of their guys – are not good. If they're dressing Jared Tenorti on a regular basis, there's a problem, right? Mm-hmm.
But how much could he play?
It doesn't matter.
Just name three guys.
McAvoy like 28 minutes a night.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, is Tuukka Rask coming in healthy? You're telling me you want to start Dan Vladar and Jeremy Swayman? Have you even heard of those guys before?
Swayman's killing it.
I know, but I mean, like, can you count on that in the playoffs? Probably not.
You never know, man. The goalies go hot. They go hot. A lot of people said the same thing about Binnington.
They're also hitting Washington at a good time because Washington's not like on peak.
I don't think it really matters. What are they in their last 10?
Does anyone know?
I don't know. But Kuznetsov's all like getting kicked off. Kuznetsov was doing
cocaine again. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not good. Losing their second best center.
Has what's his face really worked there?
Mantha's worked there. Yeah.
Mantha scored a lot. Yeah.
Washington's 7-2-1 in their last 10.
They're what?
Actually looking sick.
7-2-1.
Okay, so they're coming into the playoffs, you know, relatively hot. Sprong's doing well.
That's definitely one of your stats, boys.
Yeah, Sprong's been the stats boy for years.
Has been a good replacement for Ovechkin.
Hey, for anyone that cares, I put Boston in six, okay? Again, we're not doing a full breakdown analysis.
I mean, we are at this
series point.
Because we've already been doing it.
Because what Luke's trying to hint at is it is 10-12 and I'm ready for bed.
Correct. So now we're on to the Ty's favorite team. Carolina versus Nashville.
Carolina in five.
Carolina in four, baby.
It doesn't really matter. I think that any of the teams would have smoked Nashville. Because think about it. A month ago, going into the trade deadline, who was going to be the biggest seller? The Nashville Predators. And then suddenly Saros got hot. So another short king, UC Saros, got hot. He started my short kings. Yeah, I know. And then their PDO is like 108 in the past 10 games.
There's one thing about PDO is that it can last very long times.
Yeah, past the Senators in 2017.
Saros can steal them a game or two, right? That's why I'm saying.
Remember that game against Carolina a couple of weeks ago?
50 shots or whatever?
Yeah, 50 shots. In the first period, they had like five expected goals, and it was like 1-0. Yeah. So Saros is like carrying this team.
I expect one game like that, so I'm doing game five. But Carolina's
just...
You guys
were wrong. The next series is by far the best series, the most watchable series.
So I think I'm also going to say Carolina in five, whatever.
I'll admit they're not.
Tampa, Florida is going to be the best series to watch.
Tampa, Florida.
Luke, what was your answer?
I put Carolina in five too.
Okay.
Tampa, Florida. This is going to be a fun one, especially if Kucherov's back.
Which he will be.
Magically.
I'm 100% on Tampa with this, but Florida's, you know, Florida's very good chances of winning the cup right now. Like every model has them fairly high, like third or fourth.
I don't know what happened this year. Might have been just not playing Bobrovsky at all. But
that was a big part of it.
Did this team really a Hornquist Verhage came out of nowhere? Right? Became like a 20, he scored like 20 goals. I know he got injured towards the end of the year. Ripped to my fantasy team.
It honestly has been guys like that actually stepping up. Because Barkov and Huberdeau have just been their consistently good selves. And then those guys stepped up.
But Ekblad got, like, he broke his leg in half a couple weeks ago. Sucks. And they didn't stop, right? If they did have Ekblad, I would be much more confident saying Florida would win.
But Weegar just stepped up.
Yeah, exactly.
Sick.
Yeah, at Kyle Dubas, you should have traded Andreas Janssen and Travis Dermott for him. Just saying.
Apparently.
Florida, like,
he could replace Riley quite nicely for you guys.
He could. Man. No.
man, this is one of the unfortunate things about how the playoffs works now, is that just some great teams are going to be out in the Central.
But that's exactly what they wanted to do. That's what the NHL wants. They want,
I know, but we're in a year where these divisions aren't going to last, right? Like, so rivalry doesn't really mean much this year.
Well, I mean, rivalry would still matter for Tampa, Florida. Like, that's always going to be there.
That's huge.
That's true.
They love that series.
I think that
NHL's loving that.
Yeah, if they could get Florida fans.
The biggest series is still obviously going to be Toronto, Montreal, though. Like, it's not really, like, viewership wise, it won't be even close. But
for growing
the game. Florida Tampa's probably.
Did you see their last game where they had like a huge line brawl?
Okay, we're getting very tangential right now. Yeah.
Yes. We're not even talking. Thanks.
About. That's why I'm saying it's going to be fun. So, okay,
Florida Tampa.
I want to say Florida in seven, but I know Tampa's going to come back at full
health.
Saying
Tampa,
they haven't had all year.
Tampa,
I already marked it down, Ty. You can't switch your answer.
Yeah.
I'm saying Tampa seven.
I'm saying Tampa six, but I do think there's a very good chance Florida could pull an upset here. They're just such an aggressive team right now.
It wouldn't even be considered an upset. Like, I think they might even be the favorites.
They are a favorite. Yeah, they are the favorite.
They're 4 points ahead.
But that's only because Kucherov's been out, right?
I'm going to put Tampa in seven as well. I think Vasilevsky's just the dark horse here in a lot of ways, and Kucherov.
Yeah,
if Ty is correct and they held out Kucherov all year just to get him back in the playoffs just for like cap reasons, if Ty is in fact correct, that would mean Tampa probably could have came like first in this division with Kucherov, like easily, probably.
Yeah,
could have came first
100%. But I don't think he would have been there that long anyways. Maybe like a month, maybe even less, right?
But I mean, like, who was they had some random guys come out, like this Ross Colton guy was apparently like really, really, I mean, I can't say I watched much Tampa, but I heard his name a lot. They just had these random guys come up.
Yeah, but Tampa's known for that. I'm in Pittsburgh. Random guys come up and they succeed.
All right, to the West. I know the West isn't finalized yet, but
it's basically finalized because Vegas is up 4-0 in the second period,
so they've clinched the first.
Well, Colorado is also up 4-0, so what, it would go by regulation wins, right, if they're tied?
Doesn't Colorado have two games left?
Yeah, but they're down by 2 points, so if Colorado wins the next two games, they'd be tied with Vegas for first. But who does it, regulation wins, or is it ROW?
Regulation wins is the first tiebreaker.
So if Colorado wins both games, then they would be first, so it's not really set. It's all dependent on tomorrow's game.
I think that they're playing LA again, or
they are
San Jose or something.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
And Minnesota's also up. No, Minnesota's down, sorry. So they're probably confirmed third.
No matter who plays St. Louis is winning in four games. I don't care who it is.
Like,
they're winning in four games.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, let's just say it's Vegas and Minnesota. Vegas.
Vegas and St. Louis?
Yeah, sorry. Vegas and St. Louis. That's what I meant. Sorry.
Yeah, I think it's more likely Colorado, Minnesota.
Yeah, that's Colorado, what I meant.
Minnesota, right? Colorado could easily win their next two games and be facing St. Louis. So it really is kind of gray. But we'll figure that out tomorrow.
Who's facing tomorrow? I think it's Colorado and Vegas into the next round.
Whoever it is, it's Colorado and Vegas.
Whoever's playing the Wild is winning in like six games. I think the Wild are really, really good.
The Wild are really
this good. Year.
Yeah,
they're an exciting team this year compared to like that mediocre kind of middling team. They've actually been a really exciting team.
Two guys.
But yeah,
the funny thing is like with Minnesota, it's that like the amount of goals they scored per game and let in per game didn't change. It's just how those goals happen that changed.
Yeah.
And now everyone's freaking out about it because instead of they're still scoring whatever, like 2.8 goals a game or whatever it is. But now it's like an exciting goal from Kaprizov versus like just dumping the puck in and getting some like crash to the net, boring ass goal that nobody cares about. But yeah, anyways.
So, okay, we're gonna play it as if it's Vegas St. Louis right now.
Yeah.
So, Ty said Vegas in four. Martin,
I'm saying Vegas in five. St. Louis can pull off a win.
Five, yeah. Vegas in five.
It also depends if because Colorado has.
I'm gonna go out of the box here and say St. Louis in four. Just kidding.
It also depends, but like if Colorado loses their goalies, because I think Grubauer is back. He had COVID. In April, I think he's back now. But if he gets injured, I think do you trust Devin?
He's been back for
okay.
Time.
But do you
he's
trust
me in fantasy right now?
Do you trust Devin Dubnyk if he gets hurt again? Because Grubauer's hurt seems to be hurt like every other week.
Ah, Grubauer's been good this year. He's been
okay,
consistent.
Okay, but has Devin Dubnyk? You said that last year, like they had Hutchinson in net, man.
Sure,
that's the only reason
went
they
into the playoffs last year.
But if you start trying to make arguments about like starting goalies getting injured, you get into a whole another can of worms.
Okay, that's true. So
St. Louis, who the hell is their squeezing? Like Binnington, obviously, but like
behind Billy Huso's their backup.
Yeah, exactly,
Billy Huso.
Right? There's very few teams that have like a backup where you go like, okay.
Okay, so Colorado, Minnesota. What are we saying?
Colorado in six.
I'm saying Colorado in six too. I don't think it's a seven series game. I think Colorado's much better, but I don't think they sweep them or anything.
No.
I put Colorado in five. I just wanted to be different, to be honest. All right, so we have our first round in my notebook here. And are we going to do an NHL bracket challenge?
Yes.
Do we want to open it up to fans?
No.
Oh, why not?
I mean, we can do it for fun, but I mean, the only one that I'm going to care about is our one. $20 each. Let's go.
We can all do right, a talking hockey one with everybody and get $20 in from everyone who joins.
Oh my god!
Winner gets like $5,000 all of a sudden.
Yo, that'd be lit though.
That would okay. Never mind. I changed my mind. $20 buy-in. Let's go, followers.
Ty's acting like he's gonna win with his freaking nonsense.
He's gonna actively vote against Carolina in the second round when it comes to them playing Florida or Tampa, and then Carolina's gonna go on to win the cup.
I already bet Martin $20.
And then he's gonna bet against the Leafs for everything because he thinks they're gonna fail at everything.
That's the smart thing to do.
Carolina.
Listen, Eric, that's the smart thing to do. Hedge betting. If your team wins, you're happy. But if they lose, you win money.
But you also lose
money. It's a win-win no matter what.
So it's kind of a lose-win.
But you're happy if. Who cares if you lose $20? The Leafs won the series, right? You know what I mean? Who cares?
I care about that $20. I like being right. You know?
That's weird because you're not right very often.
I feel like I'm right like all the time, but we'll move past it.
Okay. It's now 10:30, Luke's bedtime, so.
Yeah.
Grandpa Luke.
Is there anything else we wanted to talk about today?
I want to talk more about this trip, but you know.
We'll save next week. We'll discuss Crosby versus McDavid because I'd like to discuss it with you at length.
Yeah. I feel like we gotta have a debate on that. Martin versus Ty.
Luke's too tired for it to happen now.
Okay. Yeah, I know.
Correct.
For next week. Okay.
All right. Ty, sign us off.
Thank you for listening, everyone, to episode 61 of the Talking Hockey Podcast.
I'm going to cut that out. That was garbage.
Yeah, that was really bad.
I know.
I didn't like that.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning into this week's episode. We love and appreciate each listener that sticks around to the end. With that comes reminders to leave a review, press follow on those streaming platforms, and make sure to head over to Instagram to follow Talking Hockey. We're on the road to 30K, and we can't wait to continue to build our audience. Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin signing off. We'll see you all next week.